Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else while I try and wrangle this whole mental health into a spot where it's supposed to be and not where I tend to keep it. Now, today, I do want to start this off by saying my voice is, as a product of just the time of year, a little off. And I'm actually recording this super early in the morning because I was going to record it the day before and I had just the worst headache and I could not focus to save my life. But that's neither here nor there. I do want to talk about the Sheldon's spellbook. So, I saw this, was it Friday? And I saw a whole lot of people up in arms about it. So, let's just look at the cards first, and then we'll go over everything. So, first up we have Ink Shield, which is a 3 white black, instant prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to you this turn. For each 1 damage prevented this way, you make a 2-1 flyer. The flavor text on it is where this really stands out. It has one of his iconic sayings on it, "You did it to yourself," which, if you knew Sheldon and his decks, he had a commander deck called "You Did It to Yourself." And that's what this 5-card secret lair is based on. So we have Sheldon the Commander, which is a reskinned Ruhan of the Fomori, which is the commander of that deck. It's one and Jeskai, so blue-red-white. It's a 7-7 giant warrior, and at the beginning of combat on your turn, you choose an opponent at random. Sheldon the commander attacks that player this combat, if able. So, it's a you-don't-know-where-it's-going-to-go-immediately kind of commander, and Sheldon was famous for playing it. Now, in the lair, we also get a soul ring and a command tower. The soul ring has this beautiful art of, like, a hand writing an essay with a glowing ring on it, and I really like the art. And it has a quote from William Shakespeare, from his Henry V play, and apparently this is cited to be from Sheldon himself, that he used a lot of that in his literary background to pull from. Then there's the command tower, which has probably the best quote that Sheldon Menory has ever given us. And that's, "Hate has no place here." And as someone that's dealt with a lot of stuff in their life, I'm very grateful that Sheldon gave us this place. But moving on, the next one in the set is Eldamari's Vineyard. Single green enchantment. At the beginning of each player's pre-combat main phase, that player adds green-green. And the flavor text on this one is, "Good company is sweeter than any summer wine." And the final card on here, and I'm sorry if I butcher this, is Bene Supremo, which is an Italian version of greater good. Now, the reason they went with the Italian version is apparently that is how Sheldon always referred to it, as like a nod to his Italian heritage. Eh. Yeah. So that's what's included. And people were all up in arms about it because, oh, Wizard doing corporate stuff, greed feeding on beloved person. And I've seen people in Sheldon's life come forward and say, no, this was something he was planning before he passed away. But to begin with, Wizards is donating 50% of all proceeds from the Secret Lair to charity. And sure, Wizards is still making 50%. But have you ever heard of a company giving up more than like 30% for charity? Have you ever heard of somebody actually doing something that somebody who had passed away would be proud of? Because I haven't. And they're treating this the way that they should, with deference and respect. Now, I don't know if I will be picking any of them up. This is still a Secret Lair. They are already confirming that they're doing limited quantities of these. I don't know if I want to fight for it. That said, as much as it feeds the greed monster that Wizards is becoming, it also supports a good cause. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Now, I'm going to go try and find something to get my voice back on track, and then when I get back, I'm going to talk about a deck that I've been throwing together, and it's going to be happier times. Alright, I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we're back. And I don't know if my voice is sounding better or not, but I did drink some water. Now, I was looking through stuff the other day and realized I only have one Boros deck right now, and that's Feather the Redeemed, and that deck tends to only come out every so often because it's very strong. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I really like the new Aurelia. So I picked up a copy of Aurelia, the Law Above. She is a 4/4 angel for 3 red-white with flying, vigilance, and haste. Whenever a player attacks with 3 or more creatures, draw a card. And whenever a player attacks with 5 or more creatures, Aurelia the Law Above deals 3 damage to each of your opponents and you gain 3 life. So looking at this, I decided I wanted to go kind of 2 routes with it. That's the go wide route and the go tall route. So go wide meaning an abundance of creatures, and go tall meaning making them harder to block by making them bigger. The first couple of things that I pulled for this were actually the other Aurelias. So Aurelia, Exemplar of Justice, 2 red white for a 2/5 angel with flying and mentor. But the more important bit is, at the beginning of combat on your turn, choose up to 1 target creature you control. Until end of turn, that creature gets +2/+0 Trample if it's red, and Vigilance if it's white. So, she can make herself a really good attacker, or she can just pump something else to be a good attacker. There's going to be plenty of targets in this deck. Speaking of, the next Aurelia. Aurelia the Warleader. 2, red, red, white, white for a 3-4 angel with flying, vigilance, and haste. When Aurelia the Warleader attacks for the first time each turn, untap all creatures you control. After this phase, there's an additional combat phase. So, yeah. Then we kind of move into other things. So, next up, I have both copies of Tajik in here. Tajik, Legion's Edge, 1, red, white, 3-2, human soldier with haste and mentor. Prevent all non-combat damage that would be dealt to other creatures you control, and then for red and white, you can give him first strike till end of turn. Part of why he's here is because he has haste, and that pairs very well with our Odric Lunarch Marshal, which is 3 and a white for a 3-3 human soldier. At the beginning of each combat, creatures you control gain first strike if you control a creature with first strike. The same is true for flying, death touch, double strike, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, skulk, trample, and vigilance. So every additional keyword we have is just good. Speaking of, we have Tajik, Blade of the Legion. 2 red white for a 2-2 human soldier with indestructible and battalion. Whenever Tajik and at least two other creatures attack, Tajik gets +5/+5 till end of turn. We constantly want to be swinging with at least three creatures, so it works. Now, in terms of the go wide, right? We're looking at stuff like Hero of Bladehold. 2 white white for a 3-4 human knight with battlecry. Whenever Hero Bladehold attacks, you put 2 1-1 white soldier creature tokens onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. We have Adeline, Resplendent Cathar. 1 white white for a star 4 with vigilance. Adeline's power is equal to the number of creatures you control, and whenever you attack, for each opponent, you make a 1-1 white human creature token that's tapped and attacking that player or a planeswalker they control. Leonin Warleader, 2 white white for a 4-4 cat soldier. Whenever it attacks, you make 2 1-1 white cat creature tokens with lifelink that are tapped and attacking. Wingmate Rock, 3 white white for a 3-4 bird with flying and raid. When it enters the battlefield, if you attack with a creature this turn, you make an additional 3-4 white bird creature token, and whenever Wingmate Rock attacks, you gain 1 life for each attacking creature. Krenko, Tin Street Kingpin, is 2 and a red for a 1-2 goblin, and whenever Krenko Tin Street Kingpin attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Then create a number of 1-1 red goblin creature tokens equal to Krenko's power. Oketra's Monument is a 3 mana artifact. Your white creature spells cost 1 less to cast. And whenever you cast a creature spell, you create a 1-1 white warrior. The Sigiled Sword of Valoran is a 3 mana equipment. The equipped creature gets +2/+0, has vigilance, and is a knight in addition to its other types. Whenever the equipped creature attacks, create a 2-2 white knight creature token with vigilance that's attacking as equip for 3. And finally, in the go-wide section, we have Anduril, Flame of the West. 3 mana equipment, equipped creature gets +3/+1. And whenever the equipped creature attacks, you create 2 tapped 1-1 white spirit creature tokens with flying. If that creature is legendary, instead create 2 of those tokens that are tapped and attacking, and it equips for 2. Now, this does seem like a whole lot of go wide, and I mean, there is some more in there. But there's also the go tall aspect. So we have stuff like, Warleader's Call. 1 red white for an enchantment. Creatures in control get +1/+1, and whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, Warleader's Call deals 1 damage to each opponent. So this is pulling double duty as extra damage we can throw around, and an anthem. Next up, we have Ash Party Crasher, which is a red and a white for a 2/2 human peasant with haste. And it has the celebration mechanic. Whenever Ash Party Crasher attacks, if two or more non-land permanents enter the battlefield under your control this turn, put a counter on Ash. The goal is attack with her and something that makes two tokens, stack the triggers so that you get the benefit on her. Baird, our Givian Recruiter, red, white, 2/2 human soldier. At the beginning of your end step, if you control a creature with power greater than its base power, you make a 1/1 white soldier creature token. And I realized that should have been in the last section. I'm sorry. But now we just want to hit hard and hit often. So we're running stuff like Bruce Taro, Boris Herder. Herder. 2 red white for a 3/3 human ally. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, target creature you control gains double strike and lifelink till end of turn. Again, this pairs really well with Odric. Next up, we have the other Odric, Master Tactician. 2 white-white for a 3/4 human soldier with first strike. Whenever Odric, Master Tactician, and at least 3 other creatures attack, you choose what creatures block this combat and how those creatures block. I say the other Odric because I don't really know or care what the Vampire Odric does. I think it has something to do with blood tokens, but that's about all I got. Rounding this out, next up we have Adriana, Captain of the Guard, 3 red white for a 4/4 human knight with melee, and other creatures you control have melee. So again, this is just going to make them large and hard to block. Iroas, God of Victory, 2 red white for a 7/4 god with indestructible. As long as your devotion to red and white is less than 7, he's not a creature. Creatures you control have menace and prevent all damage that would be dealt to attacking creatures you control. Next up, we have the Gleam of Battle. It is 4 red white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it. It's going to help us go big. And finally, I want to talk about a card that really doesn't see a whole lot of play, and that's Sir Aelin, the Lion's Claw. 3 white-white for a 4/4 human knight with first strike, and whenever Sir Aelin, the Lion's Claw, attacks, other creatures you control get +1/+1 till end of turn. Is he impressive? No. Is he going to fill the job I need him to fill? Yes. So that's the premise behind this deck. It just wants to go wide, get in with some creatures, make some tokens, make a lot of tokens. Looking through the rest of what I have here, like, we can make goblins, cats, soldiers, treasures, clues, humans, soldiers, angels, and I'm sure I'm missing something somewhere. But that said, I think I've talked enough, and I'm gonna call this one here because I do have stuff I have to get done today. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week. So, bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.